Ladies and gentlemen, due to some unforeseen technical difficulties, we were unable to bring you episode 10 of the Two Geeks and a New Podcast last week. However, we got everything fixed, put all the band-aids in the right place, and we've even added a new feature, upgrading it to being better, stronger, faster. That's right, from now on, every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, we will be streaming live on Twitch as we record the podcast. That means you can come into our chat and interact with us live and be a part of the podcast. We're bringing you in full speed. This week is a special two-part episode with the podcast starting at first, and then we have some fun game time trivia that's going to be coming to you right away. So stay tuned, strap in, and let's get on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Two Geeks and a Noob podcast with your host, Superbeard Vince Hoover, and his co-hosts, Jason Q. Perez and Denise Jackson, a podcast for the indoctrinated nerd, the casual fan, and everyone in between. Now, on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special episode of the Two Geeks and a New Podcast. Now, here's the deal. Justin's going to lurk. That's fine. Did you notice that there's chat involved? It's because we have hit the double digits. We've hit double digits. The green screen has moved a little bit behind you, but that is okay.
Dang it.
We have hit double digits. We are at episode 10 of Two Geeks and a New Podcast, and we're doing something very special. From here on out, we will be live streaming on Twitch as we record the podcast. So if you want to watch us record the podcast live Wednesday nights, right now we're at 7. We may move to 6 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk about that later. But we're going to live stream on Twitch. And then, as always, the episodes will come out at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific time. That's a hard word to say.
Say it again.
On YouTube, Pacific. I have to say it slowly, or else I'll say specific, which is, it comes out at specifically 9 a.m. Pacific. That will be how we do this. And we're also going to change our format a little bit in the sense that we will talk about what's going on. Like, we have What If coming up. We're going to talk about episode 1 and 2 today. And we're also going to be playing games and bringing you guys involved. So we will want your chats. We want you to interact. And we're going to be playing some games. So we're going to have fun with this. We're going to have a good time. That's why you see the scoreboard up there. And this is going to be fun. Now, the reason we're talking about episode 1 and 2 is because last week we had some major technical issues. For some reason, there was a couple corrupt files in my streaming software. And my audio didn't record. So we had an amazing guest on, Amanda Castriello. She was on. And we will have her on again. You guys know her from TikTok and Instagram. She's Amanda Just Vibing on TikTok and Amanda2D on Instagram.
You can put it on our on that YouTube. You know, this is going to be on YouTube as well. But you'll be able to like put her stuff on.
It'll be in the description on YouTube.
Good.
I'll have it on there because I still want people to go follow her because she is, of course, amazing. And the next time she is free on a Wednesday, she will be back to join us. So,
good.
But we talked about episode 1, and unfortunately, none of my audio recorded. So it was really awkward.
That's fine.
It
happens.
We're gonna kind of. You can see why everybody's kind of like, "Yeah, it's fine." Because we're gonna cover episode 1 for about 5 minutes because that's all it deserves, and then we're gonna jump right into episode 2 of What If, which was so much
better. Oh my God. Yes,
much better. More fun.
For multiple reasons. Definitely. And my dumb ass couldn't find my notepad this morning when I watched the episode at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I wrote my notes on a manila folder.
You do what you gotta do.
It's got a little flap I had to fold down to make sure I had room.
At least it wasn't used toilet paper. Then we would have a problem.
My pins are like the gel pins, so you can't use those on toilet paper.
What can you use on toilet paper? It would only be Sharpie, wouldn't it?
That depends on
or
the
felt tip pen.
Felt tip pen. Okay.
Which I actually just got some calligraphy pins that are really nice that I could have used. But you know, to each their own.
If anybody's on Jeopardy, remember that answer.
Yeah. Cause that'll come up.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, of course it would. That is absolutely a Jeopardy question. So anyways, a real quick recap of episode 1 of What If. It was Peggy Carter becoming a super soldier instead of Steve Rogers. She made one choice. Instead of going up to the booth, everybody stayed down, and they were on the floor. And that caused the Hydra agent to set off the explosion early. Steve Rogers gets shot. He can't go into the thing. Sure enough, Peggy has to jump in because apparently they can't reset.
Even told Stark to get in there. Stark's like, no, I'm the guy that pushed
buttons. Nope, yeah. He only wanted to push buttons. Yeah. That's it. Well, that's because they were really wanting a man in there, and Marvel really wanted to get that point across for some reason. Like, just, it has to be a man. They really did do that feminist thing, like, hardcore in this episode.
Yeah, they did. I'm sorry, I got somebody that's trying to join our thing, so I'm telling them exactly where to go to join our Twitch. But you're absolutely right. Like, they hammered. At first I wrote down, hey, 1940s sexism, yay. But then I got to a point where I'm like, this is a little much, because 3/4 of the episode was about, oh, she's just a woman.
They're trying to drive Peggy, but man, I mean, they just threw her into the capsule at that point.
Justin said, did you catch the Secret Empire comic Easter egg, the Hydra Stumper? Did you see that?
Yeah, the Hydra Stumper, that was what they called. So Steve Rogers gets shot. He's now crippled. He has to walk with a cane. But Howard Stark makes him an old school Iron Man costume.
Yes.
That is powered by the Tesseract. So just a brief rundown of the episode, and we don't have to go any further into it. It was kind of boring. And it was kind of boring because it basically is a recap of Captain America the First Avenger.
Exactly.
But with Peggy in charge. So there was a lot of stuff you noticed and a lot of stuff you saw.
Yep.
Episode 2 is vastly different.
So vastly much better. Oh, my God. Yes. I wish they would have started with that one instead.
Well, I get why they started with Peggy Carter's episode, because it was it was easing people in. So it was like, okay, you know the movie Captain America First Avenger. You can kind of follow along, and now you're involved. Now you're like, okay, what's episode 2 got?
Well, can we assume that it's kind of going in a chronological fashion where, you know, it's going into the past of what, moving in down through the decades into what would be, you know, because he picked up T'Challa, you know, in the 80s, correct?
So 89, I believe.
Maybe we're walking our way down into the present, and then that's maybe into the future. And we know this is all going to be pointing towards, you know, everything else. So maybe this is a path down a timeline.
That makes sense. I didn't even look at it that way.
That's a lot better explanation than I had.
Yeah. Good job. There you go. Q gets one point.
Actually, I'm curious now. what were you going to say, though? Because you and I have bounced around with the idea that all of these stories don't exactly exist in the same universe.
Yes.
So it's not necessarily, you know, it's not necessarily that they're sequential from each other in a chronological fashion, but it almost feels like that's the case. So, I mean, do we know for sure that they are separate universes from each other?
We don't know whether they're separate or together yet.
Okay.
We do know there will be crossover, but that could be after the multiverses merge. So that could be where the crossover... So we don't know yet. So maybe that will be explained as we go along. But like I said, my theory was that they started with the Captain America First Avenger one because it is much more like... It is like the movie, just a change. Yes, Justin, thanks to Loki. Or technically, thanks to Sylvie.
I freaking loved the episode. Oh my gosh. So that whole series was amazing.
So here's the thing. So the second episode, and of course, spoilers ahead, spoilers ahead, spoilers ahead. the second episode is what if T'Challa was a Star-Lord? And I also thought it was very interesting, was the title of it.
Yeah.
But as you go through the episode, there's only one Star-Lord. So it wasn't like he was, you know, maybe if you'd have said was a Ravager, that might have made more sense. But I thought that the title was a little weird. But so what changed was, instead of Yondu himself going down to pick up Peter Quill for Ego, Yondu sent Kraglin and Taserface, who are both idiots, to go
Taserface. Oh my God, that was awesome. Oh my God. So, I could not stop laughing.
Yeah, it was. Well, this episode was just so much
all
better.
Around awesome. Oh my God. Can we just erase episode yeah. one?
I do think episode one was important, maybe not so much yeah. as for the episode itself, but what it's going to lead to. Yes. But
there's a lot of speculation that, you know, Captain Carter is going to be an important character going through these episodes and maybe sometime afterwards as well.
Yeah, there is a chance that we actually see Captain Carter come into the live action movies as well. So, although I don't know how you make Haley Atwell taller, but
yeah, you just cheat it like you would normally.
Yeah, Apple boxes are amazing. Your camera was fine.
No, I saw something like freaking out on this on my right side. I have a ghost in here, apparently.
It's just a watcher. It's the shadow I told you about. It's that shadow. It's going to happen.
Yeah, well, it was freaking out.
Yeah, that's the shadow. It's just, it's moving.
See, look, what's happening?
It's moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, why?
Because it's
because that shadow isn't lit properly, so it's trying to read the green screen, but it can't fully read it. Okay, Justin. Justin has us muted, so that he doesn't hear any spoilers.
He's lurking, but we're muted.
Oh, that's weird, guys. What do I do about
that? So Korath coming off as a real fanboy to Star-Lord.
Yeah. So the whole thing's in, so before we dive any further, I do want to get into one thing. It was great to hear Chadwick Boseman in what ended up being his last performance.
Agreed.
He did pass away rather unexpectedly at 43 of colon cancer. He kept that very secret, and it was a tragic loss to lose him. The guy not only was a hellacious actor. If you ever saw Get On Up, the James Brown story, he killed it in that. 42, the Jackie Robinson story, and of course as Black Panther.
Yes.
So it was great to hear him again. So the scene starts the same way that the Guardians of the Galaxy film starts. And this is where I got scared because I thought, oh no, are we just going to recreate the Guardians of the Galaxy movie?
Mm-hmm.
And no, we did not. But nope. he's going to get what ends up being the Power Stone from Morad. And of course, Jamon Hasu, his character, what is it? Korvath. He shows up, and in the movie, he says, "There's another name you might know me by, Star-Lord." And he goes, "Who?" He's like, "Man, Star-Lord, infamous outlaw." And he's like, "No, never heard of you." But in this one, when he says, he doesn't even get a chance to say Star-Lord. He just takes his mask off, and Hansu immediately just goes into full fangirl mode, and it's like, "Oh my God, you're the famous Star-Lord." The infamous outlaw who robs from the – basically, he's Robin Hood, and it's based on
– I wrote that down before they even said that. Yeah. I was like, this is definitely Robin Hood. It was so cool.
But, like, he got, like, excited to get beat up by Star-Lord. Like, that was how much of a fangirl he was, which I thought was great.
It was awesome.
Yes.
Can I use the gun? Yes, please.
Yeah, yes, I wrote that down, too. I did write that down, too.
That was so cute.
I was, like, very Robin Hood-esque. I wrote that down.
Yes.
So – it looks like that picking up T'Challa instead of picking up Peter was kind of the best thing for the Ravagers, or at least Yondu's team of Ravagers, because he brought the good out of them very quickly. So Yondu, before he passed away, everybody, you know, you saw in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, he would never turn on Peter, you know, and that ended up causing him to get thrown in jail by the mutiny of Ravagers. But now you see, like, that they've all got the goodness brought out of there. So they're basically heroes. And
some other additional characters that are not usually a part of the Ravagers.
So we got to a point where they start telling the story. They're in the bar, and Hansu's character is telling the story of how Star-Lord was able to stop the Mad Titan from his quest to end half of the universe. And I literally wrote down in capital letters, "Jesus! This Star-Lord stopped and recruited Thanos."
Yeah.
Thanos comes up and talks about it. And of course, Thanos is still like, "Hey, I still think my plan's a good plan."
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I love how he defends it, though. It's not genocide. If it's random.
But that's, oh my God. You know what that is, right? Do you know what that is? This is Marvel metaphorically spitting in the face of every fan
who thinks that
Thanos was right. No, you're just toxic. Like, that's a toxic thought.
Yes.
Killing it's half the universe, including all life.
Basically like a psychopath. Like a psychopath, sociopath, like
sociopath,
whatever. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. That's what actually that reinforces his, you know, the dimension of his evil character. That makes him worth more, you know, because he wasn't right. You know, maybe in his mind he was doing something honorable, but he was still wrong. And this is it. And I love now that he's kind of like a pushover. it's pretty funny.
I really
liked when it said your destiny is determined either by your nature or by the nature of your world. I was like, awesome.
It was actually asking the question, mm-hmm. is your destiny
right
determined by your nature or by the nature of your, and that goes back to the old philosophical debate of is it nature or nurture? You know, the fantastic mm-hmm. movie, Trading Places. Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd.
Yes.
Yes.
And the $1 bet of nature or nurture.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
That's that same idea. And that's what the it was just posed in a much more beautiful and eloquent way versus the dollar bet in a toilet.
But so another thing that would go along with that, what they said was what you call destiny is just an equation. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow.
Yes.
I love that too. They just had so many great lines in this episode in 30 something minutes.
But it didn't feel rushed. And it didn't.
No.
They didn't feel like they were trying to compact a 2-hour movie into 30 minutes like the first episode.
Right.
So I remember actually you had asked a question in the other episode that didn't get recorded properly. You would pose a question to Denise of who you think the Watcher is. Do you think it is the Watcher of our main universe or another one? Which actually kind of runs back to our original question is, you know, if all these stories exist in separate universes, then are we getting stories from a different Watcher each time?
I don't think it's a different Watcher each time. I do think it's not Uatu because they haven't named him as that. They named him as the Watcher.
Right.
And so in the credits, it says the Watcher. And if it was Uatu, I'm sure that they would name him. He would say, I am Uatu, the Watcher. So I think he might not be the Marvel 616 Watcher from the comics.
616.
That is that is the universe of the comic books, Marvel 616.
That is interesting.
The MCU is Marvel 199999.
Yes.
Okay.
So what these are alternate universes to the 199999 universe. Huh. So this Watcher is the Watcher of 199999, and he can see all the alternate realities based on choices of this universe, whereas Uatu can see all the alternate realities based on choices of the 616. So it's like there's an anchor universe that is the prime universe, and then the branches off of that. And that's so I do not think at this point, unless they come out and say different, that it is Uatu, which they could. But he also he's made it very clear, I do not, will not, cannot interfere.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Jason?
Well, I love the voice. The voice is great. I can't think of the guy's name right now. Could you help me?
Jeffrey Wright.
Yes.
What else is he in?
He is Felix Leiter in the James Bond movies now.
Denise, you would
CIA
know him.
Contact.
You would know him from the Hunger Games movies. He is in the second, third, and fourth one. He is the technical guy, the black guy with the glasses.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yep. I know who you're talking about. He did like the force field.
Yes.
Shit.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Got it.
He was also an architect of Westworld.
Yeah. He's also. Hey, Lily. Hey. Welcome, Lily. I'm glad you're
Hello.
Here.
Hello. Hey, Westworld.
Hi, Lily.
Yes. He is in Westworld.
Nice. Okay. Well, that's cool. I know who you're talking about now. So he He did.
We're doing good.
He did that. Okay. What else, Jason?
So let's see. The Watcher. Well, all right. So continuing on with the second episode. Let's see. Where did we leave off?
It's going good, Lily. Thank you for joining us.
Aw.
Lily is actually somebody else that I want to have as a guest on, by the way. So, Lily, I will hit you up later
awesome.
About being a guest on here because I do want you on here as well.
Yay. Is it going to be like three geeks and a noob? Do I get like extra points if Lily comes on then?
Well, Lily's is kind of in between where I'm at and where you're at. She's not as versed in the comic books, but it would be, yeah. Two noobs.
She said two
yeah.
noobs. Yay. Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, cool. That would be fun. Let's have her on. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
That'll be fun.
All right. So going back to the episode. Yes. So they're after the Embers of Genesis.
Oh, my God. That was cool.
So I tried to look that up, and I couldn't find any kind of comic reference.
Isn't that what the seeds that Ego was planting on the different planets is?
I would think that it was, because in the very last part of it.
Well, don't get there yet.
Well,
don't jump ahead.
Well,
okay, go ahead.
Don't, but it's relevant. Like, whenever it went into his mouth, it planted like the whole, like a whole forest.
But it didn't do the blob thing. Like, remember in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, when the seed went off, it became out like a blob.
Would it depend on the person that it touches then?
I don't know. So I'm going to have to look that up again, because I didn't even bother looking it up, because I just assumed that's what it was. But now that I think about it, the Embers of Genesis may not be that. That's what I thought it was.
I want to look
up. Or maybe it's a variation of it. I don't know.
That's really, really interesting, because it's bright yellow. So obviously it's full of light and growth, and doesn't matter who it touches. If it touched somebody else, would it have turned into something else?
I don't know.
Or... You know what I mean? Like,
well, let's talk about who it touched.
Yeah.
Because there's a big issue here that we kind of skipped over with Thanos. Thanos right. joining the Ravagers and giving up his evil ways.
Yeah.
The Black Order then went to the Collector.
Yes. Right.
Made him the most powerful person in the, basically the space mafia that right. was left void. That was left that is, void.
Y'all both did it.
Pretty good.
Yes.
Which, okay, by the way, I went back and watched the credits. Now, everybody came in return to voice their characters. Josh Brolin was Thanos.
So cool. Yes.
Karen
yes.
Gillian. Now, Dave Bautista was not even asked to be Drax. Disney didn't even approach him. But I also believe...
Well, they were angry. That's
why. Well, it's because
there
was a huge back and forth between Disney and Bautista at the time, because they had fired James Gunn, and he was very adamant about that was screwed up. You shouldn't have done that.
Well, they even put that... where Drax didn't want a Star-Lord pick.
So
they were already shutting him down.
Yeah.
Do you remember that in the episode? So there you go.
But, they also established his wife and kids have motives, so there's no real,
for this character. There's no drive for this character. He's just a bartender now because his family's still alive.
Exactly.
Thanos didn't wipe him out. But
right.
I thought that the Collector was voiced by somebody else, because it didn't sound like Benicio del Toro at all.
And
I agree, but that's his name.
It is him. I was so confused, because I'm like, God,
how do you know he didn't have a cold or something?
I was like,
COVID's for real.
Well, first off, Benicio del Toro, the man himself has an accent. He has an accent. And then the character he played in the movies is this like weird, kind of eccentric, and he accentuated his own accent for the character.
Yes.
One, he just sounds like an American.
Flat.
And I was like, and it didn't sound like him at all. And I'm like, whoever they got to do his voice was terrible. And then I'm reading the credits, and I'm all like, what?
Yeah, when I first saw I saw his name in the credits when the episode started. I'm like, oh shit, we're gonna get to see the Collector.
See, I meant to look at that, but I was busy looking to something to write on, and I had to go with this. So I missed that part.
He was so powerful, but also he does not offer dental. Don't work with the Collector. No dental for you.
That's great.
And can we talk about Nebula?
Yeah.
We can't yet, because Howard the Duck was still in it.
No, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Awesome.
Trust me, that was Seth Green, by the way.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Who was supposed to play Howard the Duck. Well, he did voice him in the post-credit scene, but there was a cartoon that was supposed to come out with Howard the Duck, and he was going to voice it there as well. Cool. So him getting to do it, I thought that was cool. But Nebula was never tortured by Thanos, because apparently Star-Lord got to Thanos early enough that Nebula was not tortured and modified too much. And in fact, her eye didn't come from Thanos. It came from the Collector. And that's why she owed the Collector a debt.
She wasn't mechanic at all. But, and also, there wasn't that estranged her trying to feel like she wanted to prove herself.
Had regular mommy or mommy. They had regular daddy-daughter issues.
Yes.
It was just more like, it was like, oh, you're so lame. Like, it was that kind of, it wasn't like, I hate your guts so much for what you did to me. It was more like, dude, you suck. You're lame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And notice there was no Gamora, because when Star-Lord got to Thanos in time, he never had to invade her home planet, thereby never having brought her into his life. And that's why, you know, she was not a part of this episode.
Well, wait, because Nebula was taken after Gamora. So that's confusing. Well, unless her adoption, but her adoption, I don't think they wiped out her species. I think it was more like, I don't know in the MCU how they did that. They never do explain how she becomes part of the family. But I did like the adopted joke that kind of threw back to like Thor and Loki. Yeah. So I did like that.
Also, you also noticed Malekith was also in one of the cages. I saw somebody made the point of that. He's one of the dark elves from Thor the Dark World.
Yeah, seems that...
they had the sword too, didn't they?
Well,
the dark elf sword.
Apparently, as good as it is to have... like, T'Challa is a much better Star-Lord, obviously. I actually wrote down that Peter Quill is the worst. There is a downside.
Yeah, because there are other versions of Star-Lord.
Yeah.
And that's probably why I think they said a Star-Lord.
Yeah, maybe. But, like, there is a downside.
That's a really good point.
There is a downside, because now the Collector has much more power. His collection was much bigger, and he had actual – instead of having a random Dark Elf like he had in Guardians of the Galaxy, he had Malekith, the leader of the Dark Elves. He had something – he had Captain America's shield.
Yeah, he did.
He had Hela's helmet.
I saw that. Yes.
Like, he took out the goddess of death that it took Sorter to take out.
Yeah. Like, he even had Korg's arm. What the hell?
Yeah, he killed Korg.
Ooh.
Yeah, he was insane. He had and also, was it just me or was Thanos like not Thanos? At all.
Well, you saw him be Thanos.
He got taken down so many times. That wouldn't have happened to Thanos, really.
You saw him be Thanos when he decided to give them the time to escape, and he went into that fight. But you got to remember, the Black Order are arguably the strongest beings in the galaxy besides Thanos. So, but fighting Thanos combined, and this is a Thanos with no weapons, no armor. There is a chance they could take him down. Yes, did Thanos take down Hulk in Infinity War? Yes, but he had the Power Stone already. So he was stronger.
And he had armor.
And he had armor on. He had no armor. He's in a Ravager's uniform. He was still the Mad Titan. He was taking shots and not, you know, getting hurt. It wasn't until like they were using their weapons, which are far more remember, these spears and stuff that they use, they're sharpened down to a molecular level. They can cut through vibranium. Just like Thanos' weapon cut through his shield. But my earlier point was that this Collector is so powerful now. He's taken out Captain America. He's taken out Hela. So there is, as great as it would be that T'Challa would be Star-Lord, as you've seen him save countless planets, there is a downside, and Earth could be screwed.
If it isn't already.
Yeah.
So, okay, I had a question about the Black Order. Isn't a couple of those members like sons and daughters of Thanos?
No, it's kind of like how Gamora and Nebula are.
They're all adopted.
Okay. Yeah, they're just like weird.
I thought he did have blood, offspring.
He does, but that's Thane. Thane is his son, and Thane does not exist in the MCU, at least not yet.
Okay. At least not yet. Okay.
By the way, if y'all have comments on whatever we're saying, please put it in there.
Yes. So if you're watching this on Twitch and you're watching us live, please comment. We're going to keep it scrolling and keep talking to you. If you're watching on YouTube when this goes out, comment down below and let us know. If you're listening to the podcast on Anchor, you can leave us a comment or even a voicemail, and we can play it on the next episode. So keep that in mind as well.
Absolutely.
And I also have to give one more thing. Cosmo the space dog was finally saved. That was awesome.
Yeah, he wasn't stuck with Howard the Duck, which Howard the Duck gets stuck back at the collector's thing anyways. He gets locked down in a...
What the heck? At least he had a martini. I mean, well, God, at least he had that.
He said it was an open bar or two for one.
It was happy hour.
He said it was like a hard right at Ralph. And so what I was really hoping that he meant like King Ralph, like John Goodman, when he was talking about King Ralph. Do you remember that movie when John Goodman?
Is that the Ralph that he was referencing? My first thought was Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh,
because Wreck-It Ralph is actually a Disney property.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So that would make sense. But is it King Ralph too, or is that not?
I don't think King Ralph.
Does anybody remember King Ralph?
I love King Ralph.
I love that movie.
I think King Ralph is Universal.
Oh, I don't know.
It's been so long, I can't remember.
Somebody go find out for us and let us know in the comments.
Yeah.
I will say, and also because if I haven't already said it already, please like and subscribe. As well.
Yes.
Both follow us on Twitch, follow us on YouTube. Everywhere you find us, please give us a nice follow. We appreciate it, and we thank you. I did like the Triple Cross that we got. It seemed like a double cross. It seemed like Nebula was still going to be evil, and it turned out to be a triple cross. I thought it was interesting that Yondu Mirage, which I think Mirage is owned by... thank you, Lily. I do believe that Mirage is owned by...
Okay.
Who does Mirage?
Mirage Enterprises?
I think they're...
Is that King Ralph?
Yeah.
Mirage Enterprises? Oh, my God. That is so old.
Aren't they owned by... They might actually be owned by
Disney.
Did
they get taken over?
Mirage might be owned by Disney.
I mean, it would be in the same realm of Howard the Duck, honestly. If you think about King Ralph and when Howard the Duck was, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just wishing.
Mirage Studios, founded in 1983 by Kevin Eastman.
Owned by Sidney Pollack.
I wonder if they are talking about King Ralph.
They're best known for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. God. Yeah.
Oh, so that's not Disney. That's Paramount.
Well, crap.
Yeah, so anyway,
I wonder what Ralph they're talking about then. It must have been... It couldn't have been Wreck-It Ralph. I mean,
why not?
Really? Mm-hmm. Because King Ralph is way better.
Well, because they had Marvel characters in Wreck-It Ralph too, didn't they?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, Ralph Breaks the Internet, I believe there's some cameos in the background.
Pollack. I know, I saw Sonic. Sonic was Pollack. In there.
Which, by the way, real quick... we're huge fans of Idris Elba from the Suicide Squad. He played Bloodsport. He is voicing Knuckles in the second Sonic film.
Nice.
I couldn't be more excited about that.
Boy, first that guy's off, getting a lot of work lately.
Well, yeah. He's amazing.
He's pretty awesome. Yeah.
He should have been James Bond. But we won't get into that. The Broccoli family. Yeah, that is their name. The Broccoli family. They're terrible people. Anyways, but yeah, Jim Carrey has returned to form, and he was amazing in the first Sonic. He carried that whole movie.
Yes, so oh my God, yes.
Him and Idris Elba in the same film, I can't wait.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
I just watched Bruce Almighty today. It was freaking amazing. Still is awesome.
Yeah, that's a great film. It's good. It's good.
Was anybody like really annoyed that Nebula kept calling him Cha-Cha? That was getting on my nerves.
I thought it was adorable, and this is where a romance to me felt natural, and like the two of them like just flirting, just the little flirts.
That was it flirting.
Actually, it felt natural. Yeah.
It felt like a brother.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Was it flirting?
Thank you, Lily. You're awesome. I can't wait to have you on the show. Stan Lee. Stan Lee is in Wreck-It Ralph 2.
So then it is. Then it is that Ralph. Yes. Then it is Wreck-It Ralph, which is a great movie anyway. I love that. I've watched it anytime.
The comment, if you haven't watched the second one yet, there's a scene in the second one where he gets to the comment section of YouTube, of the internet. Oh, that's heartbreaking. Oh, what a heartbreaking scene that is. Oh.
Tell me. What
it's just, it starts off, you know, he's in there. He had a video go viral. It's why him and Penelope are in the internet. He's trying to figure out where it's at. And he goes to the comment section and the Hall of Comments, I believe it's called. And of course, the first one, oh, Wreck-It Ralph is awesome. Oh, this video is great. And he's enjoying it. And then it's like, look at this fat idiot and stuff like that. And he's just like,
trolls.
Oh. And like, it's just like troll comment. And they're just, and they're getting worse and worse and worse. And I don't know who the character is. He has a guide and she tries to stop him from going in there. She's like, you just have to ignore them. And he's just like, no, it's fine. It's fine.
Aww.
All that matters is I have one person who does love me, and he pulls out the medal from Penelope. And I'm almost crying now. I'm like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. He's so sweet.
Oh, God.
I'm crying alone in the dark in my room watching this movie as a 40-year-old man.
Well, I really like that they talked about karma in this episode.
I laugh
episode.
Because it's happened to me. Like, oh, I'm not the only one. Yay.
Karma was a big through message through this as well. All in all, this was a lot of fun. And honestly, the action scenes were not as good as the first episode. What the first episode had was amazing action scenes. This one had decent fight scenes, but there wasn't much of it. But story-wise, it very loosely followed the Guardians of the Galaxy film. And I mean very loosely, to the point where you didn't feel like you were just retelling that film.
Right.
No, it felt like something completely new to me.
So good.
It made me think, like, going back to embers of Genesis.
Yeah.
And it went into plants. Do you think that would be an introduction for Poison Ivy?
Poison Ivy is DC, not Marvel.
Ah, crap.
We love you, Noob.
Well, I mean, I do what I can.
It's all good.
They're talking about doing a branch over for everybody. So
I know that.
Not, right?
I know that James Gunn is pushing hard for a crossover.
That would be great. Well, there you go, James Gunn. Epic. You're welcome. And also 10% if you use Embers of Genesis and it's Poison Ivy, 10%, bitch. Thank you.
I will say, if the Embers of Genesis are not the ego seeds, they are some kind of celestial seed.
Yeah.
And okay, so I got something.
Yeah.
Go for it.
I found out there was a celestial called the Gardener.
Really?
Yes, but I didn't really get to dive into him too much because I'd never really ever heard of this person. And from what I gather, this person is not around anymore. And who knows what level they are in the MCU? But the Gardener, as you can imagine, has plant-like abilities. Okay, so Orid Zoinos.
Recording in progress.
The recording's in progress.
Sorry, guys, I forgot to hit record on Zoom, so I'm doing that as a backup after all the crap we went through last week. So, okay. But
he is one of the elders of the universe.
Yeah, we have been recording. On Zoom. I just want to just in case. So, but no, we tested it earlier. Everything worked. We're good.
Okay.
Go on, Jason. Sorry to scare everybody. Like,
really?
No!
Yeah, he has devoted his life to the creation of natural beauty by sowing the seeds of plants, flowers, trees upon barren or devastated worlds. So it seems feasible to me that this could be some level of a concoction of this being, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a neat idea because when I first thought of it, when I first heard of it, what it does, it reminded me of Genesis from Star Trek: The Wrath of Khan, and man, am I dating myself with that reference. But yeah, So I mean, basically, it does the same thing. It takes a barren wasteland and it proliferates living organisms, including plants, or mostly plants. Who knows? This is something, completely new. This could be something of their new invention all on their own. It's got no roots anywhere.
Yay. She liked you screaming con. Do it again. Both of you. Ready? One, two, three.
It was probably bad for their headphones. I will say this. It probably
said it's a must, like for real.
It probably is that celestial, and I think that also ties into the Eternals coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm looking forward to that.
Because don't forget, the Eternals actually also help with agriculture and stuff on Earth. So that's I'd like to see some of this tie into that as well.
There's my question with Nebula being like who she was, and then how they were portraying Thanos. Like, I remember in that episode, Nebula saying to Thanos, "Are you crazy? You'll never take them yourself." And so I'm like, what? Like, it's Thanos. Why wouldn't he be able to take people by himself?
He trained them. So you're basically talking about five versions of Thanos versus one version of Thanos. So obviously when you have – it's five against one, and that's why she said that. It's because if you noticed at first,
let's also keep in mind that the
– I can't remember his name, but the guy with the big guy with the hammer, they're going toe-to-toe. Black Dwarf. They're going toe-to-toe. And Thanos is holding his own, but then when Proxima comes in and cuts him, like I said, her blade was sharpened so much that it could actually cut his skin, and that was his downfall. She also cut him right in the back of his knee. I don't care how powerful you are, how good you are, that wound, the back of the knee, probably cutting the tendons too. It's hard to fight, obviously. It's hard to get on your feet, and he still ran with it afterwards. But so I don't care how good of a fighter you are. Like, I don't care if you're Bruce Lee. I don't care if you're George St. Pierre. I don't care if you're Muhammad Ali. I don't care if you're Superman. When you have people at equal level of you and there's more of them than you, you're not winning that fight. And he knew that going in.
And they had armor and weapons.
Yeah.
And he had neither.
Yeah. He was going in bare fist, no armor.
Okay.
And by the way, was it just me or was the Collector on steroids?
And what are those marks on his neck? He didn't have those before.
He basically cybernetically enhanced himself.
That's what correct. It was. Did they have any purpose?
Like, I'm sure they did,
I mean, they did call him out for that. Maybe it controlled
the arm things.
They did call him out for it. Like he's compensating for something, and I think it was Howard the Duck that said it.
That was weird, but I really like seeing that servant girl turn into a rescuer.
Karina.
That was kind of neat. Well, yeah, Karina.
Remember, she did that in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. She saw an opportunity to escape his, and she grabbed the Power Stone, and this was her doing it, and it felt like the end of the Hunger Games. Like, I keep bringing that up, but remember the the last movie, The Mockingjay Part 2. When she shoots, what's her name? Julianne Moore. She shoots her instead of shooting the president, and the president starts laughing, but then everybody just goes on to him and just beats him to death.
Yeah.
And that was kind of what happened with, the Collectors. They let him out of the cage, and she had let all the other people out. And again, he's also his collection was far more vast now because again he had the Black Order behind him. He was the overlord of whatever this underground was.
Space Mafia.
Yeah, the Space Mafia. I'm going to call it that from now on. I think it's an awesome.
That is a very good. Did anybody call that, or did
I just came up with it?
No, he did. No, that's the first time I've heard it.
Super beard coin term.
We get a shirt made that says that, Space Mafia.
you can buy it here for $9.99.
Well, we will be doing merch eventually, but I don't know if it'll be in time for us for that to make sense. I might just keep T'Challa
finally goes home. Sorry.
does go home. Go ahead and talk more on that, Jason.
Yeah, he finally does. He's roaming the ship or somewhere. I can't remember exactly which. But he ends up finding in the Collector's collection, a one of his ships from, you know, where he's from, and it is activated by his necklace. So, you know, that he gets inside and he sees a video message sent by his father that he created this entire campaign to send out ships to look for the lost prince, look for him. And it helped him decide to finally go back home and, you know, introduce his family to his family.
Yeah.
So that was really neat. It was, you know, full circle, family feeling there.
I will also say that I know that some people have complained that he got over Yondu's lie too quickly, but in the heat of battle and then seeing Yondu like step up and say, you know, I'm not leaving my kid behind. That's a lot to process in the moment, and that can actually help expedite that healing factor. And he even said, like, no, you're the glue. You're the one. And, of course, the glue was him being the one getting punched in the face until T'Challa could actually hit the sneak attack. But it's kind of like the call for help with Loki and Thor, where he would use Loki basically as a lawn dart.
Yep.
And oh, I need help. I need help. And
it kind of seemed like when he was little, though, like he had a choice because he was like, I can show you the universe. So, I mean, it kind of felt like it was.
Well, it was his choice, but he wanted to go home and he was told by Yondu that Wakanda was destroyed.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was that.
And right. That's the lie.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And, so, some people.
So there should be another what if. What if he was able to go home, but then still chose to be with Yondu?
You could do a whole spinoff. Every one of these episodes, you could then do it. Well, what if you made this choice instead?
You're right.
That, there's an infinite possibilities, and that happens. Well,
there
so,
you go. You're welcome, Marvel. 10%.
I don't know if you'd be, with what they have on their slate, I don't know if they'll go that far. But
we'll have to make that shirt too. 10%.
Yeah, 10%.
Send it. All right. So, Denise, what do you think is going to happen now that Ego, the living planet, has found his son directly this time?
What?
Yeah.
At the end of the episode, yeah. Like
the very end of the episode, he finds Peter Quill working at, was it Dairy Queen?
Yep. Oh, yes. Yeah. And how much money did Dairy Queen make for that? From that,
well, they were.
They
in
didn't
the,
like do a fake one. Like it was actually.
Well, no, they
Queen.
Were a sponsor of the second film. Like they
wow.
were.
Wow.
There you go.
When that blob
That's
is
awesome.
Coming. When that blob is coming.
Yeah.
The grandfather's in the car, and it's right outside of a Dairy Queen. Like they already had a. So I'm sure they just like, hey, do you mind if we put you in one more? And like, yeah, go ahead.
So why couldn't it be like a Wakanda, but on that planet instead, where he's the prince of that, and do like a total. What if shift on there?
Well, I would,
especially since he has all these powers.
I would say that there's something that has to come out of this ending, because we know that Ego wants to use him as a battery. And if you get
yes.
a Peter Quill who's never been in space, you got just a guy who's
yes.
mopping floors at a Dairy Queen, who suddenly finds out he's a Celestial, who suddenly finds out that there are aliens, who suddenly finds all this stuff out. He's probably gonna be more eager to go along with it. He'll be much more easier to control, and he could be used as a battery much easier. So he's not like it. And there's a good chance that Ego, because there's no like. Remember, if you remember in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, he's like, you know, I heard that my son was this amazing, you know, outlaw and da 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 da. His son is mopping floors at a Dairy Queen, you know, at 30 years old. He's probably like. Yeah, I don't even need to talk to you. You can just be a battery. And he could just, like, basically lock him up immediately. So that means that as great of the thing – like, T'Challa has saved so many worlds and drastically changed everything.
Mm.
There's still a major downside to – so there's still
there's always a price to pay.
A universal extinction-level event to come.
Yeah, but
it won't
all
be, the snap.
Be taken down by lactose intolerant. He can't, you know what I mean? It could be just, I mean, they found him at Dairy Queen. So what if he's just lactose intolerant? They Marvel's funny like that. They could totally make it a joke.
Yeah, I got to go.
Because you are. So there
no,
you go.
No, I'm not lactose intolerant. Well, I mean, okay. Technically, every human in the world is lactose intolerant to an extent. We're not supposed to drink milk.
I mean, but really, they could make it something stupid like that too, and that would be hilarious. Look, see, Lily liked it.
So I see him as becoming a villain, a major villain.
Yeah.
In some capacity.
He could join up and be up for it.
So you know, there's a sway, a yin to a yang in every situation, and if T'Challa has righted a lot of wrongs from what we know.
Oh, see, she likes me. I love you too. I can't wait to have you on.
So,
well, somebody has to.
Wow.
So I think that was why they showed on it. Here. We need Lily on here. Okay, sorry, Jason. Right. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, stop interrupting, Denise. You're so rude.
I can't wait to have Lily on. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, Justin's back.
All right. Well, you know what, Justin, your timing is perfect because we were just about to wrap it up. I will say this, Q, I agree with you. There's a chance because you got a broken down Peter here that's basically a loser, like far more than we've ever seen him. So this all of a sudden rise to power could really go to his head. So
you think that's what's going to happen? They already kind of did that, though. They already did that in the movie.
There's already going to be a second season. Yeah, but that Peter at least had some inkling of power as a Ravager. This one has none. He's literally mopping the floors of a Dairy Queen at 30 years old. He's working a minimum wage job and he's got nothing. So, you know, it could go to his head. And we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
So all in all, fantastic episode. Highly recommend it. Can't wait for the next one. I don't know what the next one's going to be. It might be the Marvel Zombies one, which I think will be fascinating.
That is cool.
Yeah.
We'll have to have Justin on as a guest, too. He said he would like to be on. Yeah, we can have him on sometime. That would be great.
I know you weren't feeling well earlier today, so I did ask him to come on, but he wasn't able to come on tonight. But we will work it out to have Justin on as well. And hell, maybe we'll have Lily and Justin on at the same time. We'll just play it. I got some games that require more than just the two of you. But it is game time, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, it's game time. Thanks for sticking around for the first part of episode 10. Make sure you look out for episode 10, part 2. Please like and subscribe and comment down below your thoughts on everything with What If. And thank you so much. We greatly appreciate you. See you soon.